Welcome to the Wine Vault. On the special bonus episode, Rob and Scott find out how does Kirkland stack up to some of the to do that thing with bottle, jigao, coke to rum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Robert. What are we calling this episode?
Well, we're calling this a follow-up, a short.
Contrast.
It's a short. There's no potpourri tonight. But what we're doing is...
People are clapping and rejoicing in the streets.
I know. On Sunday, you heard us do the Kirkland Signature Gigonas. And so what we said is, you know what, let's drink a Cote de Rhone, because we're drunks, and just compare to what we just drank. And so this is a Wednesday night. It's a bonus episode. Yeehaw! You know, season six, you start off with Gigonas by Kirkland, and then, oh my God, you follow up right there with a Kirkland, with a Jigao Cote de Rhone. That's what we're doing, a Jigao Cote de Rhone. Two Rhone wines. How good is the Gigonas back-to-back with Cote de Rhone, which is virtually the same price? We're going to find that out on this episode. Now, we have a half bottle, so we won't drink too much, which is thankful because we're, you know.
Drunks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, $19 on wine.com for this.
What?
At the full 750 ml.
It doesn't cost that.
That's what they say.
No.
Currently unavailable, $18.99.
Well, you shouldn't pay that much.
Now they've got the 16 vintage for $16.99.
Yes, and you should spend that. But
which that's the same price as the Gigondas, yeah? Or no, it was $15.99.
No, it was $14.99. It was like 15 minutes ago when we drank that. You can't remember what the price was?
I didn't pay for it.
You're so good at this.
I'm so good at spending your money.
I know. So, folks,
I wanted to be 16 of your dollars and not 14.
I know. We're going to take a break. Okay. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the 18 Jigao Cote de Rhone. So there are two reviews. And I will read them tonight.
Similar blend, different percentages, but it's the same Rhone grapes.
50% Syrah, 40% Grenache, 10% Mourvèdre. So the Gigonas was 85% Grenache, 10% Syrah, 5% Mourvèdre. So a considerable amount more Syrah, but Cote de Rhones are. And so the reviews, the first one.
Yes, this is Wilford. Now, thank you. I was allowed on this quick episode because, you know.
You're quick.
Who have you been talking to?
The police.
Well, yeah. It was that time in the back of a cruiser, but that's okay. Anyway, Robert Parker, he liked it. He gave it a 91. Well, 89 to 91, but that's okay. The wine.com lied and said it was a 91. But Looking more complex and complete than the 17 at this point, the 18 still has a year or so of élevage ahead of it. It is slightly herbal, briary note, dark berry fruit, and hints of mocha on the medium palate, round and fleshy.
Full-bodied palate, Wilford.
Whatever. And it finishes smooth and velvety. Then Jeb Dunnick.
Oh, he has nice hair.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
He has nice hair.
Where? On the head or on?
On his noggin.
I like his chest hair myself. But
you're such a bad man.
Well, that's all right. The 18 coats their own. Oh, by the way, 91 from Jeb, which is slightly more Syrah-dominated blend, offers more peppery, earthy notes, as well as plenty of dark blue fruits, medium-bodied, notable elegance, like me, and solid balance. It's a charming, attractive barrel sample that should drink nicely on release. 80, 90, 91. That's right. They drank it a long time ago, probably in 2018.
So Jeb thought it was medium-bodied.
Yes.
Robert Parker's Wine Advocate said full-bodied palate.
That's correct.
Hmm.
It's got a palate. That's all we know. So, in the glass.
Noticeably denser looking wine than what we're contrasting to the Kirkland.
No. I wouldn't say that. I think it's a little more, I think visually the density is similar, but I think it's a little more crimson than it was on the Gigonuts. The Gigonuts was a slight bit more plummy and purpley than this. I mean, okay, there's negligible difference in the translucence, but I don't think there's much.
Wasn't necessarily talking about the translucence. I'm talking about this is a darker wine, a noticeably darker wine.
I don't know that I would say that. I would say that it's just a little more crimson than purple. I think they're similar, but I wouldn't say that one is that more darker than the other. I think they're very similar.
Somebody's favoring the Gigondas.
No, I'm just being honest. This is better. It's better. On the nose, it's better.
So in the fact that it's dark in the glass, what do you think of it?
I don't know. I haven't smelled it yet. There's cassis, black licorice, crushed stone once again.
The stone isn't as present as the Gigondas was, but this is a nicer nose. This is a more
little briary blackberry. The black licorice though is prominent there.
Yeah, and this is a wonderful nose.
It's a good nose. A strong nose. And
nothing really subtle about it.
Ijigal is one of the bigger producers out there, too.
They know what they're doing. They've got game.
They do. Right there with Chapoutière or...
We were out one time at Ijigal. Where was that?
That was at the Avenue, and we had the...
Yep, there you go.
The Crosses Hermitage.
Hermitage, yeah. It was great.
It was really great.
Is that the bottle where you had to go help?
Yeah, I had to help her find it.
She brought the wrong bottle at first.
She did. I helped her. I'm like that. I'm nice like that.
It was their first week open, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Second week open. So other than that, this is darker. What's different? Never mind. Sorry.
It has ripe, raisiny, rhubarb, red raspberry on the front palate.
Oh, my.
Mid.
Oh, my. This is a really good example of Rhone.
It's good.
What it has is incredible structure. This has such distinct front, then mid, then finish, the third palate. This is so well structured.
Well, where it's better than the Gigonas, and that's really what we're talking about, is the front palate. The front palate is lovely. Great front palate. nice, nice. Mm. Well, there's plummy, chocolatey fruit with a nice mouthfeel. Now, what it does, though, is it starts to thin out from the mid. You have little pops of oak. It has some decent length.
It doesn't have the length of Gigondas did.
No.
But the what I like about the mid palate is this is a different expression of the Grenache and Syrah. This is like leather, well, almost like saddle leather.
But this is definitely, it shows the Syrah. It's the uglier Syrah. This is an extremely, in my opinion, extremely good Côte de Rhône. It's a very, very good Côte de Rhône. It's not a Village, though. It's not a Village. Mm-mm. And it's also not one of the ones that's from the commune. So it's lacking a little bit of the nuance and a little subtlety. The one thing the Gigondas had was subtlety and nuance.
Yeah, it was everything other than the finish and the tannin.
It was a little more elegant than this one.
I don't know about elegant. It was just more subtle.
If you were putting two in the glass and you said, which one is Gigondas, I would think this was because it's more of a brut up front.
Hmm.
With the other one, I would think is more of a dancer.
But you know the Gigondas is Grenache. This
tastes of Syrah, French Syrah.
Yeah, this is Syrah. This mm-hmm. this I wouldn't pick this for Gigondas. If I knew the Gigondas was so Grenache driven, I wouldn't pick this for Gigondas.
I like this, but I like it in a completely different way.
And
I would on an everyday basis, I would rather drink the Gigondas.
I think it hits our spots a little better.
On different occasions where I want something that's a little bit more in your face, I would drink this.
So, interestingly, one of my impressions of this wine is I think it's a little bit more approachable for everybody.
I don't know about that.
I do because of the fruit that this expresses. I love the fruit in this.
The fruit is very good on the front palate.
I love the fruit in this. And, you know, maybe, you know, the French would say it shouldn't be this fruit forward.
Okay. No, but no. Sure, it's not, Scott, it maybe does have fruit on the front palate, but it's not fruit forward as you would suggest a California wine would be.
No, it's not a California cab fruit forward, but relative to French Rhone,
it's savory fruits, though. It's not
forward in a savory manner. There's some nice berry in there as well, but it's dominated by the savory fruit.
Yeah, it's savory fruit. So, I mean, that dials it back a little bit. I mean, some people would say this tastes like feet. I mean, you know, and if you drink Meiomi every day, that you're not going to find that this would be particularly appealing. As you kiss your sister. But whatever.
Well, wish you could kiss your sister.
Mm-hmm. But
she's too allergic. My feet are allergic.
What?
Well, kissing my feet.
You have way too much commentary on kissing your sister. I'm just saying.
You brought it up.
I just made it as an offhand comment, then you had a lot of thoughts on it.
I said you can't because
you can't.
She's allergic to kissing your feet.
Okay.
No, the savory fruit, but there are some berries back in there. Blackberry is there with the savory fruit. I love the fruit profile of this. This is one of the better expressions of savory with that berry balance. I love this. I love the front palate on this.
But I like it a lot.
I'm not sure I wouldn't prefer this over the Gigondas, the Kirkland Reserve?
Kirkland Signature.
Signature.
Yes, so Signature.
Gigondas on an everyday drinker basis. I loved
not me.
What that Gigondas had that this does not, in contrast. The finish on the Gigondas, the length of that sucker. Probably similar depth of the tannins and where they could go. You know, different the earthy component. This is, in my opinion, leather. And it doesn't have the subtlety of those other components there. There's chocolate here, but not mocha. So you don't have that coffee element here that I loved in that Gigandas.
See, what I liked about the Gigandas more than this is the restrained nature of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
no, I'll give you that.
All that, the front palate, is all those things are dialed back. I enjoy this wine because I've had it 85 times before, but not this particular vintage. But I mean, I've had this exact basically wine before. The Gigandas somewhat surprised me in the fact that it was restrained and it showed some elegance, which might not be typical of Gigandas, but at least that wine, it showed that in that price range, which is cheaper than this wine.
I'll give you that it wasn't as beasty, but I wouldn't go as far as elegant. You like the mouthfeel better than I did.
I think it was elegant.
I'd stop. At elegant, I
don't think it intended to be elegant. It just turned out that way.
I think there's a subtle complexity to the Gigandas that,
yeah,
the front palette of the expression of fruit in this overshadows the more subtle components. Sure, but those subtle components are still there. You know, you've got chocolate, you've got leather. I love the leather in this. I love that earthy component of leather in this. The structure of this is fantastic. Fruit, the leather, and then just the wonderful, perfect finish. It's not as lengthy as the Gigandas. However, this is a pretty long finish.
This is a good Cote de Rhone.
I like that this is not as dry. This is not as astringent.
I think it's extremely dry.
I think it's dry. Not in comparison to that Gigandas.
No, I think this is drier. This, though, Scott, the problem with this wine, it tastes like Cote de Rhone. Okay? And Cote de Rhone is enjoyable. It's very, very good.
Wait, that's the problem with this wine?
Yes. Where the Gigandas is past that glass ceiling, because Cote de Rhone does max out. The Gigandas is showing a little bit elementally what's beyond that AOC, well, which is a big AOC, especially with this, it was not a village. So that's the beauty part of the Gigandas. It's showing softness. It's showing elements of sophistication in a certain way. It's showing those things that are a little more grown up than this wine. This wine is, I think, a bit of more of a brute side by side. It is, especially
maybe
the front palate.
Yeah, but
and also
would describe the fruit as a brute.
It's brutish, and the way that it would come across to your novice drinker. They're going to drink the Gigandas every day of the week. Ooh. Scott, it's just, ooh, they just
the
are.
Grenache, the nature of the Grenache, I'm not sure about.
It's such a subtle, softer wine than this wine is. If you're a novice drinker, I'm going to show them that particular Gigandas. Not Gigandas as a whole. That particular wine to drink. This one is a bit much for most of those people.
I don't know.
Becky would like the Gigandas more than this.
Maybe.
She just would. Maybe. She would like the mouthfeel. She would like the restrained nature of the wine. She would find that this is too pungent in its fruit. And the way the fruit is, it's not blackberry. It's not cassis. It's not these round black fruits. They are savory fruits.
I'm not sure that she would care, because what's more exposed in those are the elements that most of the time she doesn't necessarily care for.
The mouthfeel on that one. I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of that.
The tobacco.
So that she can drink. She likes tobacco. She likes tobacco. She loves cigar box.
She gave up smoking years ago.
But those, if I'm going to pick one between this or that, I'm going to pick the Gigandas for her to drink over this. I'm not saying the Gigandas compared to everything. I'm just saying between these two things sitting on the table, I would choose the Gigandas to serve to her.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see her taste these two blind and say she liked the Gigandas over this, because I don't think she would.
You're often wrong.
I'm
normally wrong.
sometimes right. The thing I think she would enjoy about this is the front forward nature.
Scott, you have not the types of fruits. You have never been right about guessing Becky's palate once.
What do you mean?
You don't understand her palate at all. At all. The fact is, the Giganos has less flavor. And in this genre, these AOCs, she doesn't like those these flavors.
But I think what she would like about this is the fruit.
No, she wouldn't like
I think so.
Scott, she doesn't like the nature of the fruit. She doesn't like the savory fruit. She didn't like it. She didn't like any of the things that this tastes like at all. The Giganos isn't showing any of those things because it's muted. That's why she would care for that more. And the mouthfeel is better. Scott, it's just it's a fact.
I'm not sure.
Well, you're not sure because you don't know what you're doing.
No, I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't. You think that she would like this?
I do.
Why? The flavors she would hate. She doesn't like anything that's on that front palate. She doesn't. She doesn't drink Cote d'Aron. This tastes like a Cote d'Aron. It's a feather in this wine's cap because it's supposed to taste this way. But she doesn't like what's in this glass.
But I think she cares for Grenache even less.
That doesn't taste much like Grenache. The Giganos doesn't really. It just, you can.
Big as Grenache.
Yeah. It doesn't do any of those things. It's not a, it is not, it is really a restrained wine. Which some might say, if they're really big fans of Grenache or Giganos, they'd say it's weak. But you know what?
Well,
it is a very subtle, softer wine compared to this. It is not as loud and showy. And for somebody that
not
isn't,
as showy.
No. And if someone that isn't into these type of wines, they don't want the show because they don't like the show. They don't like this. They don't like the way that tastes in the front house. She won't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, I know.
We would have to put them side by side. It's like I said, it's something
Scott,
I want to see.
I am a certified expert on what she likes to drink.
I realize that, but sometimes you get it wrong.
No, I don't. I do not. I know what she will like and what she won't like as soon as I taste it. It's just sometimes I buy things I've never tasted before, and I don't know. It's a Zinfandel. Until I taste the Zin. As soon as I taste that Zin, and I know she's not, I'm like, fuck. I mean, it doesn't matter, Scott. I am right 100,000% of the time. If I taste it first, I will know if she'll drink it or not. It's very simple. It's a simple arithmetic. Does it have that type of fruit? No. She does not like savory fruit. She doesn't. It's as simple as that. She doesn't like savory fruit. She likes black fruits. If it's black fruits, she can, unless it's overtly oaky, okay, it's more of a black fruit for her. She likes black fruits. She doesn't like savory as much. She could tolerate as much more in the Giganos because it's not accentuating the savoriness. Those things are there, but they're so muted.
Yeah.
We said it's chocolate-covered prune. You know, it's mostly tannin and the mouthfeel. It's a fairly, you know, kind of dialed-back wine. This wine isn't. It's more. It's a lot of savory stuff up front. That's why she doesn't like these kind of wines. Because of this kind of stuff. This isn't boozy. And I'm not saying it's a bad wine. I'm just saying for Becky, she'd hate this. Hate it.
What's the ABV on this?
13.5, 14.5. So, she doesn't like Syrah. You say she didn't like Grenache. She doesn't mind Spanish wines. It's Syrah that she doesn't like. And this has the ugliness of a Syrah. Scott, that's the truth. Don't argue with me. You're wrong.
I don't think this is ugly.
It is ugly in the fact, I don't think it's ugly, but she would. She would see that. You got to remember, it's not what you think. It's what someone else with a different brain that's wired differently than you think. I understand the coding of her brain.
I hear you.
And her brain is not that much different than a lot of people. There's certain elements they don't like, and I just have realized what she doesn't like.
Now you're calling her common.
No.
Now you're calling her common, that her brain's like a lot of people's.
No, she just doesn't like savory fruit that much. She likes black fruit. It's what she likes. I like black fruit, too. She just does, and it's fine. I mean, that is legitimate. At least I know from now on what she likes. Why does she like Alexander Valley Cabernets so much? Because they are a wonderful expression of black fruit. That's the truth. They are. I mean, they have other elements, mind you. I mean, Kirkland doesn't have that, but that's okay. I mean, the only thing that varies from that is some Tempranillos, but they have kind of a wizard weave the way they're going through. And they're not really hard like this, and they're not Syrah. Tempranillo has a softer edge to it. With this, it's the Syrah. I've never given her a Syrah that she's liked. What Syrah has she ever had that she's liked? I don't know.
Well, she doesn't like any of the French wines, let's be honest about it.
But, I mean, I think that some she might be a little more appreciable to, but Syrah-based, never. And we've always wondered what she doesn't like, and it's always been kind of whack-a-mole. I know she doesn't like Syrah. She just doesn't like it. You know, I don't like all Syrahs, neither do you. But there's many I do like.
Oh, we've had a lot of bad ones.
Well, I mean, stylistically, they can go wrong. You know, if you get too much up your own ass with them, they're
up
wrong.
Your ass.
But Grenache can be a bit more of a chameleon if it's done properly and rounded. My only qualms with Grenache is when it's boozy. I don't like boozy Grenache, and we've had plenty of those. Anciano is one of them, you know. But we've had several of them. They're really, really great.
Yeah, oh, we've had a lot of great Grenaches.
She's not drank a lot of old, and the next time we do an old Chateauneuf or something like that, she needs to be part of it, because I think that she would actually appreciate them and enjoy them, because they aren't boozy. I mean, they're not really, they're more like the restrained version of the Gigonnas. It's more the sleekness, the elegance of the minerality and the length that really you're focused on. You're not focused on this front palate that can be divisive for her. All right? It's more the mid to the finish that is the focus on that wine. And I don't think she's ever really had a problem. I mean, obviously, if it's something that's overly oaky, she doesn't like. But none of us do. But those wines aren't that way. None of these wines are like that. This isn't that. Isn't
subtle or not, those earthy appearances in the mid palate are naked. They're the first things that are
on which wine
appreciable. I'm not giggling this.
But the
fruit.
But it doesn't commit to any one thing, really.
True in that
it doesn't say, "Oh my God, look how mineral driven I am." It doesn't. It doesn't really do that, and that might be a knock on it. It might be in certain circles. If you're comparing it to a $40 Gigonas, and say, "Well, it sucks because of this." Is that $40 Gigonnas
no,
a 94?
We're just contrasting these two wines.
Yeah.
We.
I'm talking that wine as it sits. I'm not talking about Gigonnas as a whole. I'm not even saying that that's a good representation of Gigonnas. I'm talking about the Kirkland signature as it sits on the table. You know, which would she like better? She would like that. I'm not saying that she would like that. I'm just saying she would like it better than this. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She's going to say, I don't like either, but I would drink that. You know what I'm saying? Lesser of two evils. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back with a review here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So,
off air, Rob has been beating his head against the wall because the trip came down and she gave the vote of approval to Jigal over the Gigondas just on principle that I said she'd like it better.
The trip did not come down. That's all fantasy. None of that happened. So, Scott, your review for the Gigondas, or I'm sorry, the Côte d'Aron by Jigal.
Structure. I'm trying to remember. Again, in this price point, mid-teens. What did I say wine.com was on this? $18.99. You thought that was a little high.
I think you can buy it cheaper than that.
Yeah, the 16 vintage on wine.com, $16.99. Trying to remember. We had a similar discussion on the Kirkland that what did we like better than it for this price point? Forget that context of what we like better. I'm trying to remember one that had better structure. This is almost perfectly structured.
Domaine de la Solitude was better than this.
Talking about the structure. The front palette.
The Chapoutière was better than this.
Mid palette and finish of this all have really good representations. Easy to pick out components. Love the structure of this wine.
Better with food.
What do I wish was different about this wine? Something that would take this to the next level would be a little lengthier finish. It's got a good finish. It's I would say it's long-ish. Just when you contrast these two wines, it doesn't hold a candle to the lengthy-ass finish that Gigondas is. That being said, I love the front palate on this. I love the expression of fruit. The combination of fruits, that berry that's in the background, that sweet berry that's in the background, I love. That leather, would you call it saddle leather? What? How would you describe the leather in this, Rob? The mid palate.
It's not that leathery, but that's okay.
Okay, fine. What would you call it then if you're not going to call it leather? That's leather.
I'll try again.
That's leather in the mid palate.
I normally would suggest leather is something I would use that term with something that's either A, more acidic, or B, more tannic. This doesn't do that. It's slightly astringent, but it has good tannin. It has very good tannin, really, but it's a little mocha.
I didn't get the coffee. I get chocolate with that leather.
That's what I'm saying. More the mocha. I always refer to mocha as like a powdered chocolate. I don't mean that as coffee.
For me, this doesn't have the coffee element.
No, I don't even mean that. It's just think of it as a baker's chocolate. A mocha powder is not. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mocha powder. I'm not talking about a mochaccino or some shit like that or a cafe mocha. I'm talking about mocha powder. So it's slightly drying, slightly tannic, and it has a light, lithy, chocolatey to it, chocolate-ness to it. This isn't necessarily creamy, but it's just there. It's good. I like it. What's your score, Scott?
I'm at the same exact score, 88. I really like this wine. Yeah. I think it also goes in the Value Price Hall of Fame. Rob got a half bottle. What'd you get for this half bottle?
$10.99.
Then $18.99 would be about right.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe $15-16 is what I'd pay for it. But, you know.
I would get this again. I would get this every day of the week. And in many ways.
You get Jigal. I mean, Jigal's good wine. They make good stuff. I would probably get the Gros Hermitage in the 20s. But no, I'm going to give it.
For me, this is. I probably find this more drinkable than the Gigondas, but I think I think it is more interesting. No. Does that make sense?
No, it's not. It's drinkable. I'm going to give it, I mean, I'm somewhere between 87 and 88.
Yeah.
I'll give it the 88.
That's exactly where it's at, too.
But I'm more towards the 87. It's a very nicely done. It's not the best Cote de Rhône I've ever had, but because it might need a little bit more sorting out. None of these things aren't ageable, but I think a year, just set it down for a year, and it might soften a little bit and kind of evolve. That's the thing. The Gigondas is ready to drink. I mean, you could hold it, but I don't really think there's a point to it.
Yeah. I'd worry about holding it. I mean, we did.
Maybe
no,
the
we did.
Maybe the 18 was powerful in the Giganos. But the 19, then it's really ready to drink now. It's really a nice drink.
In reflection, you know, we did say you could hold that Giganos, and that's based on the tannin and the finish. But
you said that.
I did, but they said also don't drink until, no, they said until 2028 on the 17th.
Now through 2028.
Yeah, but
2018.
I wonder what happened, you know, that front palate's so, I wouldn't say non-existent, but it's so soft and subtle. Would that flatten and diminish, and what would happen to the mid palate? What's spectacular about that Gigondas is the tannin, but the finish, the length of the finish, and that's the star of that
wine.
What's
spectacular is you could have three or four bottles just as an experiment and not be out much. So
no, you wouldn't be out much at all. The Jigal, I like it for what you said. What would this be in a year if that fruit just dissipated just a little bit?
Soft
and everything
in
was
some fashion.
More in balance. But I love the structure of the Jigal. That's the star
good.
Of the show for me.
Very good.
Just the nearly perfect structure.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. An 87 and an 88.
You said 88.
I just downgraded it. That's the way it is. Value priced all of him. Well,
yeah, you know,
thereabouts.
For sure.
It's a good wine.
Yeah. I think it has to go there.
And you know what? Tip of the cap to Rhone.
To France.
Viva la France. So fuck.
We haven't always had the best luck with value French wines.
Not really.
Tonight we did two pretty damn good ones.
That's true. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.